This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you decided to join me today. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download your free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making mealtime family-friendly, fun, and healthy. So get your copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. And also, click on social media and join the conversation. Share what you love about today's show and let us know what questions you have. We've got another great show planned for you today. So grab your pen and paper and your favorite beverage and let's get started. Today, my guest is Dr. Pamela Jean, and she's a physician, author, and speaker. With more than 5 decades of medical wisdom, first as an RN and then a naturopathic physician, Pamela brings fresh personal insights to wellness and healing. She's a leader in recognizing the importance of balance in healthy habits, and as a certified Louise Hay facilitator, she leads conferences, classes, and personal coaching sessions that motivate others to recognize their own inner wellness potential. Pamela's recent book, Healing Matters, Celebrating Women's Innate Healing Nature, helps women make healthier choices for longer, healthier lives and growing a stronger sense of inner love and peace. On today's show, we'll be talking with Pamela about the role that healthy eating plays in a holistic approach to wellness. Welcome to the show, Pamela.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
I'm really excited about our conversation today, and I'd love to have you start the conversation just by talking a little bit more about your background and what it means to be a naturopathic physician.
My background is quite varied. As you mentioned, I was an RN before becoming a naturopath. And so I really was deep in the medical system, working as a critical care nurse. But I also did home health nursing. I did hospice nursing. And I really saw the shortcomings in medicine and was asking a lot of questions about health, which the medical profession doesn't really understand. And so it was easy for me to make the transition over to becoming a naturopath. You know, the story how I got here into naturopathic school is pretty much just kind of tripped over things and found the school. And, you know, this is in 1985. There were only 2 naturopathic colleges in the whole country, both of them in the Northwest. And so I found it and just was excited about learning about lifestyle and nutrition, which was my major interest. I've always understood the importance of nutrition. And so I love doing naturopathic medicine because it brings all the elements together, lifestyle and all its different ways that it shows up. And then more recently, I'm much more interested and really focused on the, you know, kind of the spiritual mindfulness of being well, because that component kind of sometimes gets lost, doesn't get addressed. So all of those things are so important in being well, understanding what your role is in creating your own wellness. And your mind is a big, big part of that.
Well, in 1985, that would have been quite a departure from traditional medicine. How did you even find something like this at that time?
Well, I was reading a lot of what would be considered alternative literature. And where I was living at the time was Florida, and there was this holistic organization, society that believed in fasting and not using no medicines. It was the extreme. And I thought it was a little bit extreme, so I really was careful, you know, when I was understanding this information to see how it can fit in conventional medicine. And I raised two children and understood what I fed them was important. And then I had a friend who was macrobiotic and started talking to her about what was macrobiotic and what really was health, you know, how do you return to health. So I had some personal experiences of feeling better eating healthier foods. And I wasn't really ill with anything. I had a little pain in my knees, which got better with my diet. I did have fibrocystic breasts, which completely disappeared when I changed my diet, got off of the dairy and some of the sweets. So I learned through my own experience. And even though it wasn't well accepted, for sure, when I was working as a home health nurse, I was encouraging some of my patients to take some vitamins, and then physicians were mad at me for doing that. So I was like, I need to change professions. This doesn't make any sense. So I was really motivated to find something. I wanted more education. So, and as, you know, as fate or whatever you believe has it, there was a little ad in a Whole Life Times magazine that I subscribed to for the Naturopathic College in Portland, Oregon. So that's how I got there, and just this is where I'm meant to be. So it was very, you know, serendipitous, very, but also my mind was going there. I really believed I wanted to do something different, And I think we create that when we think that way.
Absolutely, when we open up to the possibility, then the things that we're looking for really appear.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you share? Because I know a lot of our listeners may not know what macrobiotic is. Can you just share just briefly what that is?
Sure. Macrobiotic, and when I first learned about it, I didn't fully understand it, but it comes from Japan, and it is from the teachings of a particular healer there, Michio Kushi and George Oshawa. And basically the diet consists of very little meat, fish, a lot of sea vegetables, mostly cooked vegetables, and not much fruit, and a lot of rice and other non-gluten grains. So when Americans became macrobiotic, in other words, they got off of the standard American diet, which causes so much inflammation in the body, they really got well. There were reported cases of cancers being changed. I went to a seminar and talked to participants, people who were attending, and they gave me their stories that they had been given a diagnosis of, you know, a year to live or something. And this is now 5, 6, 7 years later, and they were doing great. So what I understand about macrobiotic now is that it is a alkaline-producing diet. So it produces more alkalinity in your body, and our bodies are really much more happier when we have more alkaline residue in our body. And the American diet is very acid-producing. Even if you don't understand that whole concept, it's what the body does with the food. So when you eat something, food then becomes either an alkaline or an acid as a residue, and that's what stays in the body. And so your macrobiotic makes you alkaline.
Interesting. And it is true that what you eat really does impact your body in, you know, a different way. So understanding what you eat, how you feel after you eat, those aches and pains. And I know there's a lot of talk about inflammation and how sugar can impact that and the certain things you eat impact that. And I think it's really important for people to understand that, you know, the choices that they make really do feed or fuel their body in a positive way or in a way that can really not be so healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Sugar is a big culprit. Red meat, in fact, most protein can be acid-producing. So we just have to learn how to balance that protein with vegetables. And vegetables in general tend to be very alkaline. So that's why we hear about the importance of eating vegetables, because they have more alkaline production in the body. And that is what our tissues and our blood and all the fluid in our body wants. It wants to be a little more alkaline. And when you're alkaline, just a little bit, your biochemistry works better. That's the environment it wants. It wants an alkaline environment, not an acidic environment. And so what I do is sometimes have my patients test their urine or the saliva. And it's not an accurate test because it can vary by what you've just eaten. But in a general way, you do a first morning test with a pH strip. You can tell if you're more alkaline or acid by doing that over a period of time. So it can be helpful for some people.
Interesting. And I like that because, a lot of people actually talk about eating more protein, but it's really important that we also really look at the vegetables that we're eating and making sure we're getting a good balance and not getting too much of something without, really finding that right combination for us.
It's all about balance. It's all about creating, when you have your plate in front of you of food, you really want to have a balance of your vegetables, and you can have grain on it, but it shouldn't be such a dominant piece on your plate. And you need to have protein for sure, but it shouldn't be the 8-ounce, 10-ounce steak that you've been told we should have. It should be like 3 ounces or 2 ounces. That's all we really need, actually. So the biggest portion of our plate should be vegetables. That's the way we help.
I absolutely agree with that. And I wonder where that really came from, that, an 8 or 12 ounce or 16 ounce steak. I mean, when you go out now, you can still get those options. I wonder how people can actually eat that much and it's just so much food.
I don't know. I know you all can tell you where it came from. It came from when I was in school as a young girl. In the hallways, I still remember the posters that were hanging about what healthy eating was. And those posters all came from the Meat and the Dairy Council. So we were told that to grow big and strong, we needed to have our dairy and our meat. So we were told to eat a lot of that. And, of course, the farmers didn't have their say. They didn't have a poster up in the hallway saying, eat your vegetables. So we got our information from the Meat and Dairy Council, which, of course, are promoting their products. So that's where we got it from.
Interesting, because now that you say that, I do remember that, from the Meat and Dairy Council and those posters, and you really didn't hear a lot about vegetables and greens and things like that. You hear a lot more about it today, but you didn't used to years ago.
Right. No, it was not talked about. It's just the old wisdom now is, your grandmother always said to eat your vegetables, and she was right. So we just need to eat more vegetables.
And one thing about vegetables that I always remind people, and parents especially, is that you often have to try and introduce vegetables to your children multiple times to get them to eat them. And it's also about understanding, is it just that they don't like it because they haven't seen it, that it's new to them, or is it the smell, is it the texture, is it hot versus cold? Really find out what it is. And then as parents, we need to eat them so that our kids see us do it, because they model what we do versus listen to what we say. At least my kids did.
Yeah, absolutely, Children are going to follow, what they see their parents doing. So if going to fast food restaurants is more their norm, that's what they're going to do. And that's how they're going to eat. And they eat packaged foods. That's the other big issue in today's eating, is packaged foods. Just really is a problem. You shouldn't be eating out of packages.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, I'd love to talk a little bit about the Heal Your Life principles that you talk about, and how people can use those principles no matter where they, age and stage or where they are. Mm-hmm. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Dr. Pamela Jean. And before the break, we were talking about being a naturopathic physician and what that meant. And we were also talking about a macrobiotic diet and a little bit about understanding whether you're getting foods that are more alkaline or acidic. And really, there's a lot to understand about that, but just understanding that there's a difference in the type of food you eat makes a big difference. You know, I'd love to have you, Pamela, talk a little bit about the Heal Your Life principles and how people can use those no matter what age and stage of life they're in.
Heal Your Life is for people of all ages, for sure. And what I'd like to say is that if we could, and this is probably kind of silly, but if we could all retain the belief and the mindset we had when we were quite young, you know, 1 or 2 years old, because when we were really young, we loved ourselves. We thought the world was wonderful. We had a good time, and we didn't worry about things. And you just imagine, you know, hanging out with a 1 or 2 year old, and they just see the world as being safe, and they see everyone as being loving and kind. So Heal Your Life basically brings us back to those principles, because as we grow up, we get many different messages from many different people. You know, not only our parents, but we get messages from, you know, other family members, our schools, our churches, our peers. That is a lot of where we get our ideas of who we are, what starts to shape us. And we forget how good we really are. So Louise Hay, who is the founder of Heal Your Life, and she wrote a book back in the 70s titled You Can Heal Your Life. And in that book, she really helps the reader understand where these messages and ideas, and mostly our thoughts that we have in our heads. So if you just stop for a moment and think about what you're thinking about, like what was that thought you just had? Was it positive? Was it negative? Was it judgmental? Was it compassionate? You know, these are the things that we do all throughout the day. We have, well, what's the figure? Something like 80 to 90,000 thoughts a day that just are constantly running through our head. So what's in those thoughts? Are they positive or are they negative? Are we growling about something? Are we annoyed? And, you know, I know that I do, and I'm constantly trying to think about changing that negative thought. If I have a judgment about somebody, I say, no, I don't want to judge them. I want to accept them. So Heal Your Life and Louise's work has shown that if you can change the thoughts, the negative thoughts, and become positive, you can change the quality of your life. You find out you are really a good person, because it's true, everyone is a really good person, and you start to feel better about yourself, and you have more positive outcomes in your life, because you are putting that kind of energy out, and whatever we put out comes back to us. So if we're pretty irritable all the time and kind of, you know, angry at people or snapping at people, that's kind of what comes back to us. So Louise helps us to see that, you know, whatever we're thinking about, we got to bring about. And that all comes from basic principles, you know, of some philosophers who've been teaching this for a long time. But she puts it in a really interesting context into the point of illnesses. So she says that if we have an illness, it may be something that we're thinking about in a negative way. And she documented over many years being a counselor and a Heal Your Life teacher She documented how people told her stories, and she would give them a positive direction, and they were able to correct those problems. So I feel that everyone can benefit, no matter how old they are. And, of course, we want to help children not get into a negative state. So we know that whatever we tell our children, often it's what they believe about themselves. So we tell our children, you're going to be something, or you're going to be turned out to be a good for nothing. Both of those things can come true when children believe what you tell them. So no matter what age, you have to begin to tell yourself the goodness that lies inside of you. And that's where healing starts. It starts with believing in yourself. And it's not at all from an egoic place. It is from a place of self-compassion and self-love, which is kind. It's kindness. It's not boastfulness. There's a real big difference there. And for some of us, and I include myself in this group, you know, we heard the word conceited long ago. If you think too much of yourself, well, you're conceited, or she thinks she's a big shot. And that was to kind of keep you down or put you in your place. And those messages were not very helpful. As an adult, what we have to do for ourselves is to reparent those beliefs and just say, no, I'm not going to believe that any longer. And, of course, it's much easier said than done. So it takes practice and it takes a mindfulness about it.
Absolutely.
So,
no, it's interesting when you say reparent those beliefs.
Yep.
I read a few years ago, and I don't remember the exact number, but when, you know, with children, we tend to give them a lot more no's than we do yeses when we're, because, you know, our reaction is, no, don't do that. But if you reframe how you say those things to them, you can shift how they look at things. And when you hear no often enough, that's what first comes to mind. No, you can't do that. No, that won't work. You know, no, that's not safe. And so I know with my grandchildren, I try to be very aware of, you know, not using the word no, but maybe look at what can they do or what should they be doing? How could they do it differently? Because I don't want them to believe that anything is not possible, because I really believe, you know, I think like you do, that anything is possible. It's just how you look at it and how you look at the challenges or the obstacles, you know, whether you look at them as something negative or something positive, it really can shift the next step and the actions that we take by shifting some of those things around that we think. And 80 to 90,000 thoughts a day, that seems just mind-boggling. But when you think about it, that can have a big influence on us when you're doing that day in, day out, year over year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's really amazing when we start to take a look at that and become aware. And anything can change once you become aware of it. So what I teach is helping people become aware of their thoughts. Because once you become aware of them, then you can be consciously make the changes you want. And you're in charge. You make the changes. No one's going to tell you what to do. So if you don't want to think those thoughts anymore, you can change them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see in the mirror, you can start saying to yourself, I love the way I look. Even if it's not what society says you should look like, and that brings, you know, to the, you know, eating issues and overweight issues and, you know, all of the tags that we get in this culture around that. And so then people start to feel really bad about themselves because they're not looking a certain way. So you have to change that. You have to start believing, I'm wonderful the way I am. And then, of course, working on your nutrition would then be the next step to follow. And I think of it this way. If you really think well of yourself, then you're going to only want to put the best things in your body, which is really good food, and you won't mind spending the extra money for better food. That's the way I look at it. I'm worth it. So I would encourage your listeners to think about it in that way. You know, what's your priority for yourself? Are you worth it? Well, the answer is yes. You just have to be sure we're saying that to ourselves.
No, No, I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, we do that with our cars. If they take premium gas, we don't put regular in it because we know they won't run well. And in our cars, we can replace. Our body, we can't. When I'm talking to women especially, one of the things that I get them to do is at the end of the day, just before they go to sleep, to really look and think about their day and celebrate and think about the things they did accomplish. Don't sit there and think of all the things they didn't do or all the things they have to do tomorrow, but really look at what did they accomplish. Because when you fall asleep and you're thinking about the good things, it just really impacts the quality of your sleep. It impacts how you start the next day and really puts you in a very different thought process. And making some of those small shifts, while it may seem silly to some, really does make a big difference.
Oh, absolutely. And just to remember for people who are listening, it starts with baby steps. You know, that whole thing about how you eat an elephant, you know, one bite at a time, and how do you change your life? It's one thought at a time. So a belief that you're carrying around, that's what you want to change. So there's something about yourself that you don't like, you need to change that. You need to come to loving it, no matter what. No matter what other people think, because it doesn't matter what they think. Really, what matters is what you think. So if you like yourself and you like whatever it is that you didn't like before, you start to change things. Things start to really shift. Baby steps, though. So one day at a time.
Yeah. No, I love that. Before we go to break, I'd love to just ask you to just briefly share, what is your big why? I love to ask my guests that. What motivates you to live healthy and to share your message about healthy living with others?
Well, my big why was, you know, the loss of both of my parents at very young ages, and I wanted to be sure to give myself a good, healthy life. And as I shared earlier, my work in conventional medicine as a nurse, I saw so much suffering and illness that conventional medicine really didn't have a way to help them. They do a really good job of band-aiding and getting you out of trouble if you're in a critical condition, but they don't really help you get well. So my big why is that I don't want to walk around, you know, suffering. I'm just not into suffering. So my big why is, you know, I want to live long. I have this old saying that I've heard from some other places, live long and die short. Because in this culture, we live short and die long. And that's not what I'm up for, you know. So I want to be healthy as I'm aging, strong and vital. And then one day I just, boom, I'm done. So that's the way we really are programmed to be, because we have such a wonderful ability to regenerate good cells all the time. So if we're not, then there's something wrong with the system, and we need to figure that out, the chronic inflammation, the chronic pain, or the chronic whatever you're dealing with. The body produces brand new cells all the time. You're always replacing your cells. So replace them with healthy cells. So that's my why. I want to be strong, vital until I die.
I live that. I love that. Live long, die short.
Right.
We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about your book, Healing Matters, and have you share about that. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health?
Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Dr. Pamela Jean. And before the break, we were talking about your thoughts and how they impact what you do. And I'm just amazed that we can have 80 to 90,000 thoughts a day. So think about it. If you're thinking about things that aren't so positive, it can really impact the actions that you take. I'd like to shift our conversation a little bit, Pamela, and have you share a little bit about your book, Healing Matters. Can you tell us a little bit more about it and how it changed your life?
Yeah, Healing Matters was that book that you say there's a book in everyone, and this was a book that was in me from the many years working in medicine. And, you know, as a woman in medicine, I saw some things, and I, of course, was treated quite differently than the males in my profession. And I wanted to pull together information about the value that women give in healing and in medicine. And women don't realize the impact they have had and continue to have on healing. And basically the word heal comes from the word whole. It's got, I think it's a German derivative from heal. And so healing really is about bringing back the whole. And so in my book I share some really great women who've done some really phenomenal things. And then I talk about the different healing modalities that we all are capable of accessing. Whether you are in touch with alternative medicine or not, there are still things that we can do. Like something as simple as like listening to music and reducing our stress levels, doing things that really care for ourselves or nurture ourselves. And I give some tips in the book as well to how you can access the best kind of health care. What kind of practitioners do you want? So, for an instance, if you have an illness and you need some help, just one physician is usually not enough. And it's really a pretty bad idea to think that one person can know what's best for you. So I suggest that when you are in a situation that you need some help, that you gather around you, not just physicians, but, you know, a nutritionist, a body worker, a spiritual guide, you know, whatever fits for you. And people that of all, like acupuncture would be very useful. Maybe even a chiropractor would be helpful, depending on the situation. So what I'm saying is that gather your team around you to give you what you need and not depend on just the conventional medical system, but bring in some of the other alternative things and then do for yourself some things that you know will be better for you, including getting rid of stress if that's what's, you know, really up for you, if you have a lot of stress going on. And, you know, when I talk to people, everybody has got stress. And stress really is about how we respond to stress. Our responses to stress make all the difference in the world. Because, you know, 10 people can witness an incident, and there'll be 10 different experiences of that incident, say an accident or something. So we all respond to our life in a very different way, depending on our background and many other things. So when we're ill, we want to bring in, you know, maybe a counselor. How are you doing emotionally with your illness? So I wanted women to see that all the things that we do have great value in healing, that it's not just a medicine or pharmaceutical or not just a surgery, which is the two arms of conventional medicine, but there's so many other aspects that we need to bring into our healing picture.
No, I mean, I absolutely agree with looking at all the pieces and figuring out what you need. I hear from people all the time that they've got so many things to do that it's impossible to reduce their stress. And I really challenge people to look at what they're doing. I mean, no is a complete sentence. We don't have to do everything. We can choose what we do and what we don't do. And I know for me, one of the things with stress is really taking a look at what I say yes to, what I do because I feel like I have to do versus what I want to do. And then I know one of the things that's really helping me a lot, and you know, I think it would help other people also, is looking at all the stuff and the things I have around me, because is it really adding value or adding pleasure to my life? And you know, I get to the point where it's like, okay, I'm not using it, and I know someone else can, so it's letting go of some of those things. And for me, it's reduced my stress a lot and given me just a lot more space and really just helped me tremendously.
So what you're talking about is really listening to yourself. And I think that's what happens so many times is that we, and I think women do this maybe a little bit more than men, we don't listen to ourselves. We are so busy and worried about others, because that's kind of a role that many of us have taken on, that we don't allow any time for ourselves. We don't allow the downtime, the me time. And if we do, then we have this level of guilt that plays in there, or sometimes we allow our families to make us feel guilty, but that's just what we're allowing. So you really have to take responsibility. If you have too much stress in your life, then you can undo it. And I totally agree with no. You have to say no. This is not right for me right now. Maybe later, but it's not right for me right now. So I think if you're going to be healthy, you have to know that you're in charge of your life. Nobody else is. And if you need help with that, then get some help. Get a coach or a counselor or a good friend and talk it out. And what can I do? What can I reduce, you know, in my life? It's like going into your closet and looking at the clothes that no longer fit or no longer style. Get rid of it. So get rid of things. Maybe you have to end relationships that are no longer sustaining you. If it's draining you, it's not a relationship you want to keep going. So we have to, you know, be brutally honest with yourself and just say, you know what? This person complains way too much and it doesn't feel good when I'm around them. I think I'm only going to see them on occasion or just less. And I've heard talk show hosts talk about that too, giving advice to one woman called in about her mother being so negative. And they said, well, you know what? Just spend less time and really carve out the time you're willing to spend. Maybe it's only 10 minutes and then you leave. So those are toxic relationships that are making you feel ill or stressed. You have a choice. You can really end them or change them. So that's what I believe. And in Healing Matters, I was just going to help people really see the choices that we really have. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people feel they don't have choices, but that's not true. That's not true.
We have a lot of choices. I think sometimes it's easier to say we don't have a choice because then we don't take action. But what I really remind people is by not making that choice and taking action, you've made a choice. You've made a choice to accept it the way it is. And I, for me, and what I really try to get people to look at is by taking care of me, that's not selfish, because by doing that, I have so much more to give to others. You know, when your tank is full and you feel really satisfied and just you feel really comfortable and good, then it just mentally, emotionally, it gives you so much more to be able to give and to really take care of the people around you who really do need, you know, may need something from you, whether it's a parent or a child or a spouse or whoever it is. If you take care of yourself, then you can really give them and have the kind of relationship that's healthy for everyone.
Yeah. And I think I'll stick my neck out here a little bit too, that when we don't make a choice and things get worse, then we can blame somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to stop. You have to stop blaming and just take charge.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, this is not right for me. This does not feed me. This does not help me, you know, stay balanced. So I'm going to end that. I'm going to do something different. So we have to be honest with ourselves. Are we blaming others for our unhappiness? Because if you are, then you need to take a look at that. What I've learned.
No, I agree with that. And I think we need to first look at ourselves. Again, making no choice, we're still making a choice. And once I finally really understood that, I realized, because a lot of times I say, I'll think about it later or do, you know, mm-hmm. I'll decide later. But what I'm doing is deciding not to take action rather than just taking action, or not to say no when I really don't want to do something. I say I'll do it later, but what it does is it weighs me down, it's kind of that nagging, I really need to tell them, or I really need to do that, or I just, and then the guilt used to weigh on me, and I've just gotten really good about saying, you know what, thank you for the opportunity, but it isn't going to work right now. And that's okay. People would rather know than have to constantly be chasing after you or running after you.
Yeah, they really would. I think you're being more authentic and being more real with that other person. And they might initially not be as happy with you, but you have to be okay with that too. And you have to know that what's right for you. And I just want to say one other piece about Heal Your Life work that Louise teaches, and I think is so essential to our wellness, and that's work around forgiveness. Forgiveness for ourselves and forgiveness of others. So it's another really important piece that sometimes we walk around with regret or anger or, you know, unresolved issues that lays a great deal of a burden of stress inside. And we need to look at that and say, well, who do I need to forgive? And sometimes the person you need to forgive is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And be good with that.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go ahead and take our final break. And it's been a great conversation on healing matters and just really about the choices that we make. Mm-hmm. When we come back, I want to shift just a little bit and talk about how healthy eating fits into all of this and really taking care of ourselves and our bodies and really having that self-compassion and how that plays into our success. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Dr. Pamela Jean. And before the break, we were talking about Louise Hay and her book, Healing Matters, and also about choices and, you know, the choices you make or the choices you don't make. And that was a great conversation. If you missed it, you want to go back and absolutely listen to that. And I'd like to shift our conversation a little bit, Pamela, and talk about how a healthy diet, how the food we eat, we talked a little bit in the very beginning of our conversation, but not too much, but how do those choices play into how we support our body and really take care of our bodies as we age? And then also, how does self-compassion play into that also?
So when we're eating our food, that's part of eating healing well, is first of all, the choices we make and then how we eat our food. I think the American culture has gotten really off track in eating so fast. Of course, fast food restaurants, but fast food in general, fast food, packaged food. And the quality of those foods is not the greatest. You may think it is, but what our body needs are many of these nutrients that come from really good soil that has been, you know, tended well. So I'm talking about organically grown, because there is a difference in soils that vegetables that are grown in organically grown soil as opposed to agricultural big businesses that just feed it chemicals. So you need to think about the body as this very complex, well, it is complex unit that needs micronutrients as well as the macronutrients. So the big ones and the small ones. So some of these trace minerals that we find in a good soil are probably not found, you know, in some of the other tired soils of big agribusiness. So we need to select really good foods. And naturopathic medicine, its general focus is digestive health. So basically what you eat matters, and then how well you eat. In other words, are you in a stress mode or are you in a relaxed mode? That in medical terms is called sympathetic versus parasympathetic. So what is your state of your nervous system while you're eating? And then how well you digest them, the nutrients, how well you assimilate them, how well you eliminate them, all matters a great deal. So the digestive system is very complex and we take it for granted until, of course, it doesn't work. So we need to pay more attention. How well am I digesting? How well am I eliminating? Do I feel bloated? Do I feel at ease when I've had a meal? Notice those things because that's important. So the quality of the food and the quality of our digestive system is extremely important. And so over time, you know, this is where it starts to count. So by the time your digestive system is working 40, 50, 60 years, sometimes things don't work quite as well because we haven't fed it quite well. Well, we've abused our digestive system. We've been eating really bad foods, drinking too much alcohol, perhaps, or too much coffee or other caffeinated products. All of those things take its toll on the digestive system as well as the body. So if we want to age well, and I know that I do, and my newest focus for women is aging like a goddess, that we need to feed ourselves well and digest well and be in a state of relaxation while we're eating. I mean, most of our life should be more relaxed than we are now, but at least while you're eating. Not texting and, you know, doing technology things during dinner. I mean, it should be a no cell phone rule at the dinner table. Bringing back the group meal with the family, with conversation, we need to bring that back. So we can have a pleasant time while we're eating. So if we want to age well, that's one of the important things. If we want to age well like a goddess, we have to do other things as well, which is to take really good care of ourselves. Like we just talked about, you know, removing toxic relationships and putting things in our life that really make us feel good and positive. Doing things that we enjoy, rather than just all the work that we see in front of us. So all of those things are important. And I actually give five different tips for aging well. And they very simply are getting the rest and the sleep that we should have, right? And then also giving yourself good messages. And I also feel every day we should have gratitude. And do them in the morning when you wake up or at night before you go to bed. What are you grateful for? The other tip is nurturing ourselves and giving ourselves self-care. So it may mean to take yourself out for a nice walk in nature, or it may mean getting a massage or getting a foot massage. Those are things that feed us, and we have to take the time. When we are receiving these kinds of wonderful things, we are in a more relaxed, what we call parasympathetic state, and our bodies like being there. Remember, sympathetic or stress state is really only the only time we should be in it, when we're trying to get out of harm's way, when our adrenaline is pumping and cortisol is pumping. But we shouldn't be like that all the time, but most of us are. So getting ourselves into that non-adrenaline state most of our day, it should be a goal. Self-compassion. I mentioned that earlier, but being the most compassionate with yourself. You know, we can be so compassionate about animals, our pets, you know, our children, and other, our environment, but where is your self-compassion? Do you have that towards yourself? And that's what's going to keep us healthy. And the other things that have been written about aging well is, you know, finding yourself in a community that you feel connected to. So particularly when we get a little older, when our communities start to, you know, go away, we want to make sure we stay plugged in to people who are important to us. And that includes our family. So these are the five tips that we can use for aging like a goddess, and being healthy and long. And for the men in the audience, I would say the same thing to you. All of those tips apply to you. Taking really good care of yourself, thinking well of yourself, giving yourself kudos for things that you've done, gratitudes every day, and thinking with, you know, a positive mind and being mindful of your thoughts.
Those are actually great, great tips. And when you talk about self-compassion, it's interesting because we have that compassion for other people. We think the best of other people. We're so good. But yet, when it comes to us, we have such a hard time, I think especially as women, in seeing the value we offer, seeing what we do. We tend to see what we don't do well or what we haven't done. And I don't think we take enough time to really, you know, think about what we have done, the value we add. I know I haven't been very good about that with myself, and the more women I talk to, I think it tends to be something we struggle with, and it doesn't mean that we're, you know, self-focused, but I think it's part of the whole, I think it's part of the whole package, and I think it's an important step in really, again, being able to take care and help everyone else is to really look at what we do and the value that we offer.
Absolutely. Women, by and large, as a general statement, put themselves last. They just do. And that needs to change for us to stay well and healthy and balanced. We are worth it. We are wonderful human beings. We have given so much to the world already, and we continue to do that. And we need to recognize ourselves. You know, in general, the world does not recognize women with value. It's a general statement, and it's worse in some areas of the world than others. But even in the United States, you know, women still are not given the same equal opportunities as men. And in fact, just this morning on NPR radio talked about girls in engineering and math programs and how they don't excel once they get into high school. And what the study showed, and this was an Israeli study, but it showed that the bias against the girls was coming from the teachers. Isn't that interesting? So you don't even realize that the bias is there, but it is. It's almost unconscious, the bias. So women, we need to sit up and take notice of our value and our worth and how much we have contributed and continue to contribute to the wholeness of the world.
No, I absolutely agree. And this has been a great conversation. We've covered a number of different things, and I love your five tips. Can you tell our listeners how they can get more information about you and all the things we've talked about today?
Yes, I have a website that I have a lot of blogs, and all of my classes are posted there. My website is drpamelajean.com, and it's Dr. Pamela, and my last name is spelled J-E-A-N-N-E. So it's www.drpamelajean.com. I have free teleclasses series going on, Aging Like a Goddess, right now. that you can sign up for and have some other Heal Your Life events that are also happening. Plus, my blogs are full of great information that you're free to peruse and, you know, take some great information. And some recipes, too. I like to post recipes. I've done a lot of cooking classes in my career, so food is very important to me. I love nutrition.
Perfect. And we will post a link to your website with today's interview on eatgreatlivewellradio.com also, so people will be able to get you from there. And as we wrap up our time together, I'd love to ask my guests if they would give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and for the ones they love.
I have a great tip for everyone. And this is a tip that sometimes is a little challenging, but I encourage you to don't be discouraged, but to continue and eat each day. So one time every day, you pick a time that works for you. I encourage you to stand in front of the mirror, look into your own eyes, and say, I love you, to yourself. If you say that every day, things will begin to shift. You'll begin to see yourself in a more loving way, and your life will change.
I love that, and it's such an actual simple tip. So I'm going to challenge all of our listeners to do that and to share the results on our Facebook page. Thank you, Pamela, for a great conversation. It's been
Thank
a real pleasure.
You. Yes, my pleasure as well.
So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me again next week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on Facebook and share your thoughts. Share what you loved about today's conversation. Share your questions you have. And also, share the results of looking in the mirror and saying, I love you. I love myself. Thank you very much for joining us and being part of the conversation. Have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.